Satan was my dad for many years. Did you know that? He was your dad. If you've not given your life to Jesus Christ, he's your dad right now. Satan's love language is division, is separation, and all the above. Why is there just so much sin in the world? Because Satan is the dad of the sinner. He's the father of the sinner. He's the father of lies. He is not the father of life. You know? We're not here to have things done our way. Well, God said, he says in his word that a man has his plans and God will guide his steps. Yeah, well, who think gave the plan? You don't think the Holy Spirit didn't wire you for something? You don't think God didn't know what your day is doing right now? You think you're hiding from him? You'd be woefully wrong. You know? Hey, don't take this message so heavy and serious. Take it with understanding is that these times are upon us now. We talked a little bit about AI last week. You understand that Amazon right now is looking for, I don't know, 100,000, 200,000 AI specialists, and they're going to give all the training for free because nobody knows what to do with it. I'll tell you what I know what to do with it. Go at it with bated breath, extremely bated breath. When the internet came around, anybody alive before the internet was a thing? Anybody here? Okay, quite a few. Anybody only ever had internet their whole life? Okay, there's a few. Well, let me tell you something. Internet in its origins where scientists could talk off wire, off the phone, and talk online and solve problems. And there's still problem solving because, hey, we go to Google for everything, right? We just need to get rid of the Google and put God in its place. It can go down a multitude of paths. It can be a very debaucherous path, or it could be very equipping. You know, the saddening thing for me with it is that people are getting their identity from the amount of likes from people that don't even know you to the depth and core. And then that, for some reason, brings satiated acceptance. Look, I don't care about that stuff. You know the only acceptance I want? I want to accept Christ in my life and follow in his ways and go do the things he would prefer me do. End of story. There's so much sin going on. Why? Why? Because people choose sin more than they do Savior. That's just how it is. They would prefer that. Do you? I want Christ. I don't want anything but him. Nothing else. Nothing more, nothing less. And my hopes are for you as well, the same. Absolutely the same. This sin, oh my gosh, it's just everywhere. And I don't want it in my life. I don't want to see it in yours as well. Do I have Romans up there? Let me see if we've got that. There we go. But God shows his anger from heaven. Now, understand the word anger. That's called wrath. It is a righteous anger. Why does he have a righteous anger? Because sin and sanctification cannot live in the same orb. A righteous God cannot live with sinfulness, right? Now, these are people you know. This could be you as well. Against all sinful. How much? All. There's not one thing left. And wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. In other words, they hold down truth. Let me ask you something. When you see lies, do you like that on the news or do you want truth? Why would somebody suppress it? Because they want their way over another, right? They know the truth about God because he's made it obvious to them. He's made it obvious to them. So the people that are suppressing know that truth. Next slide, please. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Though everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. You know what that's called? That's called general revelation. So let me ask you a question. Do you know how to make something out of dirt? Do you know how to make dirt? Yet you come from it, right? I know it's a silly question. We don't know how to do this stuff, right? Do you know how oxygen works? How about the 3 trillion cells that go in? One of my favorite is there's something like in the flagellum, which is a part of the DNA, has something around 30 some odd working parts. And if one nano part does not work, the entire DNA structure is off. Did you think that up? I didn't, you know? And these people that are suppressing it, they see this stuff under the lab microscope. They see, you can look at a leaf or a blade of grass and notice how beautiful green it is in the summer. And then in the winter, it goes to this yellow, but the roots are still growing, the stuff we can't see. God has these plans for these things, you know? And yet people are trying to suppress truth. They have the observable general revelation. And watch this. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. What about the little boy or the little girl in South America that's never heard of God? It's right there, wherever it was. I touched it and it was gone. Let's see if I touch it again. Here, let me switch it. Okay, next screen. There it is. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship Him as God. Do you feel some of that in your life? That you don't want to worship God? You want to cross your arms and say in defiance such? Or even give Him thanks? Stop there. We talked about that last week. Ten were healed lepers. Only one came back to thanks. 90% did not say thank you. Even give Him thanks. We just got done with Thanksgiving, right? Who are we thanks? Who are we giving that to? It's not friendsgiving. It's thanksgiving. We're giving thanks unto the Lord. And by the way, when I say we live that every day, we live that every day. And they began to think up foolish ideas what God was like. Why is there so much sin? I don't know. Can we maybe even consider starting there? And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. They have no authoritative cause. As a result, their minds became, what does this say? Say it again. So this is the people that we're going to trust from a worldly view to give you counsel in your life and in your decisions? People that have a darkened view or even a self-motivated reason for what they're wanting to do? Why do they want to suppress truth? We're going to find out here in a minute. Look here. They claim to be wise. They instead became an utter, this word right here, see this word? What does that say? It means idiot. It means stupid. Those are harsh words. Well, you know, that's what that claiming looks like when they do that. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worship idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. Hold there a second. Exodus 20, first commandment, I'm the Lord your God, you'll have no gods before me. The second one says what? Don't make any engraven images about any of this stuff that I made. You'll not have a God before me. That's the first two. Because I am a, what does he say? Jealous. What does that word mean? In English, we think, I'm jealous of him. She got, you know, he got that. And we're jealous on a level of sin. He's jealous in this sense of a desirous for us. He's a jealous God. He's desirous of the relationship with you. But you go off and commit the adultery with him, right? Because of the foolishness. Instead of worshiping the glorious ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. Let me tell you something, dude. I was in the Catholic Church, and I came to know Jesus along the way. And I remember praying to God. I said, look, you know, I said before the Our Lady of Guadalupe, right? You guys know the statue. Have you seen it? And I just kneeled down. It was my mother-in-law's statue. And I said, you know, God, I don't know what to do. I'm kneeling here, and if I'm doing, I'm just a punk in the Lord, right? Did you catch the punk part? And I kneel down in my living room, and I'm looking at this statue going, I'm talking to painted concrete. But Lord, this is all I know. This is what I've taught, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I said, but if I have to go to hell for eternity, save my family. And you know what? I didn't have to do that because Jesus did that. And he didn't go to hell. He saved me. And I went, in Jesus' name, amen. And I was like, I'm still praying to concrete. And I apologize for that. But see, the thing is this. I was the only one in the room saved the Holy Spirit. And he was so very forgiving because I was just slightly misguided. Kind of had a peculiar thing about God. Thought I had to pray through the concrete to get through there. Listen. Jesus says very clearly, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father but through me, not through the concrete, right? And we create these things that look like people. How about birds? I love eagles. You come into my house and I've got a few of those eagles. Why? Because they go where nobody else will go. You ever see an eagle do this? They're not using their finger, but they're flying around going higher and higher and higher. You know what they're doing? They're riding the thermals to go up high. Do you know why? They're going into the stratosphere. Do you know why? Because once they hit the top, you watch them. Now spend some time, and when you're looking at birds, always look up with your mouth closed and watch them go. Why? Yeah, okay, you know. So, and then all of a sudden they'll go phew, like that. You know what they're doing? They're catching the big winds. They're catching the high waves. I love that stuff. I just absolutely love it. I don't worship birds. I don't worship angels. You ever see when people get up, don't worship me. They're saying, hey, no, I'm not the one, dude. I'm just another thing that's been made, right? And animals and reptiles. I don't know. We like our Ford Mustang, don't we? Or the Cobra, right? We have these things that we will worship. Maybe you'll worship clothing. Maybe you'll worship things from social. Maybe you'll worship what you use on your eyes or your hair. Maybe you'll worship the type of glasses or the look you're going for. I'm just showing you guys that this is not God who would have us. Yeah, he gave us clothes. Thank God, I don't want to see you any other way, right? And nor me. So let's go with that. But we're not here for fashion statements. Well, can't we adorn ourselves nicely? Well, yes, you can. But if it is to draw attention to yourself, you probably have a weakness inside that's not contented in the Lord. If I have to go after these other things, man, that's a wicked song. I got to own that album or download. Maybe you're worshiping it too heavily. Or just, man, that'd be great to have. Lord, if you want me to have it, I'll have it. If not, okay. Do you understand how this can go south on us real quick? I know Pastor Brent, and I agree 100% with him in the statement that we are a new creation. We're not sinners from the former, but we have to live as new createds, right? We don't do this stuff. This stuff is behind us. Please keep going. Next slide, please. Thank you. They traded the truth. Look at that. That's a trade. You know what a trade is? Here. Can I have your, ma'am? Can I have your cup? No, the other one, the little one. Can we trade? Thank you. Is that a good trade, yes or no? Doesn't matter. We traded, right? They traded the truth about God for a lie. You guys like being lied to? Then don't trade your truth for that. Stand for his righteousness, not for anything else. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. They traded for a lie and they worshiped the lie. Do you understand how that works? Do you understand how I'm going to live like this? You are worshiping a lie. I'm just not going to do the things God wants me to. Your only option other than living for God in truth is worshiping a lie for the balance of your days. And it has a profound negative effect. Next slide, please. That's why God abandoned them. Stop for just a minute. Now, this is going to be a hard subject for a few of you. Some of you have been abandoned in your life. You've had a parental authority leave you. You've had a sibling leave you. You've had a life ended, and you feel that abandonment in life. Those are all very real, and we don't look at those any the lesser. The only reason I even bring it up, so we even have a smattering of what it's like to understand the idea of God abandoning you because of your foolish thinking. Why would God just leave me? Because he gives you free will not to worship a lie. He gives you the free will. That's a gift to be able to say no to this and yes to that. Because let me tell you something. When you say yes to God, your life doesn't necessarily get easier. It just comes into balance, right? The lows aren't as low. The highs aren't as high. And when they are low, you still have this anchor, this not a thread like on a kite. You have an anchor chain unto him, not to bind you down, but to actually give you great freedom. Because when you anchor into the Lord, no matter the winds that come, you're not being moved. You're immovable. He abandoned them to their shameful desires. Wow. You know, it used to say Catholic did guilt, Protestants do shame. It's all the same kind of stuff, right? I'll tell you, there's stuff that I am absolutely ashamed of in my life. I can't even believe I operated in what I thought was wisdom before. I will never tell you, and I don't want to hear your stories of your shame. But I'll tell you, one of the greatest shames, in my view, is to not adore Him. Just to not adore Him. It's shameful. It's shameful. Shame is that you know better, but you chose willfully not to do better. Great sadness there. They abandoned. That's why God abandoned them to their shameful desire. I give you free will. Go do it. You don't want me? Go. I know what that's like in my life. I was telling a brother earlier today, I have a daughter. Because of my faith and my choices to follow Christ, where He caused me to go, I had to loose my daughter to the church that she was at. And I wanted her to go so desperately. I wanted her to go. I wanted her to go. I wanted her to come with us and just see the good. She would be right here right now, probably teaching the kids or something like that. But no, she's chosen the world and the world's ways instead of falling under the authority that God put on me as a father to listen to, hopefully, a bride who's listening to the Holy Spirit as I'm going through and doing things that aren't necessarily popular. But I don't want to have to be abandoned for my shameful decisions by God. Do you understand? This is not come to church rosy cheek. Have you guys noticed that's not kind of what it's like here? This is, oh, hey, hi, everybody. Good to see you. There's some of that going on. But I'm going to tell you something, bro. And bro is non-gender. Bro, let me tell you something. If we go this other route and give this softball stuff to you, woe to me. Woe to Brent. I don't know. Some of you guys are here when Brent's teaching. That man can teach the word. He don't look like a teacher, does he? That man can teach that word. He's my pastor on Thursday night. I love that part. But let me tell you something. When the word comes, listen now. When the word comes to you softly, it will harden your heart. Because now your selfishness will be in resistance mode. But when the word comes to you more directly, it will soften your heart and make it more pliable in the hands of the Lord. And that's what He does. The word goes, and it's a separator of even unto bone and marrow, illustratively or metaphorically. That's why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural ways to have sex and instead indulged in sex with each other. Well, that's not a popular thing these days. You know, that Bible, it's kind of antiquated. Yeah? No. You know, societies, by and large, is about a 200-year run. Circa 200 years, you'll start to see society start to crack and crumble. How old are we? A little over a couple hundred years old, right? You know where it first comes up? Sex. People start going off on their wanton ways. They'll just do anything that they want to do. It's not a popular topic, but let me tell you what. It's the oldest lie in the garden. Here, try this. Is that what Eve did? Adam, this? Eve, this? Right? What did they do? They hid the parts that when God said, go be fruitful and multiply. And what did the enemy do? He conned them into a lie. And took what was good. I'm not saying run around naked, especially today. It's 13 degrees out. He took what God made as good and had them cover up and see them as indecent. Now, we don't want to run around the house naked. That's not what I'm talking about. That's just the beauty of what the essence of it was like. Because when you get to heaven, we'll be clothed in His righteousness. And that's all that really matters. You know? So when He attacks, Paul speaks about the women first. No covering for Adam. Where was the covering for Eve? Why was it? Look, if you were there, you would have done the same thing as Adam. I'm going to go get this steak off this tree or, you know, fruit, whatever. And Eve's over here hearing the word. She had the word from Adam. He gave the word, but she didn't listen. And she just got distracted. And Adam wasn't there to cover. You know what happened to them in original? Adam, you have toil in the soil, dude. You'll never be in the garden again. Oh, by the way, you're going to be ahead over your wife because You didn't do what I asked you to do to begin with, so it's going to happen that way. Oh, by the way, women, you're going to bleed every month to remind you of the garden. You're going to be screaming in childbirth, and you're going to desire after your husband. And we all know, you've heard me here, oh, he's my husband. It's not that kind of desire. You're going to desire for the authority that God placed over the man in that case. Well, that's an old concept. Men shouldn't be over women. You're right. That's why they came from the rib and not the heel. And oh, by the way, they didn't take women from the head bone, so you'd be over the man. It's this simple. It's this clear. That man has to be before the Lord, listening to the Lord for what he wants to guide him in. Men, I'm talking to you right now. When you are listening to the Lord and you're dialed into the Lord, that's the empirical thing that you need to do. That's the highest thing you need to do is listen unto him to make your decisions. I don't know why this is coming out. I don't necessarily know who this is for today. But you guys have to make those kind of decisions only listening to the Lord. Save your wife. Women, I'm talking to you now. Women, you have to be so dialed into the Holy Spirit that whatever counsel you're giving to your husband, your children, anybody else is Holy Spirit-led. You need to be so dialed into the Lord and the Holy Spirit that you know that counsel is unto the Lord. And women, in the marital sense, you are to give that information to your husband and then pray. And he has to make that final decision weighing you out because he's dialed in so close to the Holy Spirit. Look, when Mary Lou is dialed in the Holy Spirit and I am, our decisions are a non sequitur. When she is giving me counsel that's from the world, then it's problematic. When I am leading from a worldly position, that is a problem. I will take counsel because the wise has many counselors. The fool has but one. Do you understand? That's why when people get married, we tell them both before their families. Look at these people. They're all a part of your marriage to pray for you. If any one of these, even your father, mother, all the above, give you counsel that does not come from the Holy Spirit, discard it. Discard it. The book, the Bible, is chock full of the things of men not listening to the counsel of the Lord and listening to the counsel of their wives who are not listening to the Lord. The synchronicity of the Holy Spirit speaking to the woman, speaking to the man accepting the counsel, and the two go together in that type of authority, there's nothing more masterful than that because the master created it. Do you understand that consideration? Remember the liberty, women, that you had. You were owned before. You were just like a cow or a car. You were owned just like the duck or the chicken. You were chattel, C-H-A-T-T-E-L. And Christ was the liberator. He gave the counsel of women unto men. He got us back on track where we should have been from the garden that was discarded. And yet that's where I want to go. Next slide, please. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relationships with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men. And as a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserved. They felt that inappropriate action and acts. Please. Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them. That's a second time. To their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. He let it happen. Why? Free will. Choose this day for who you'll serve. You can choose you can serve the gods of your forefathers in Israel, in Egypt, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord because it's his will. Next. Thank you. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness. This is what happens when we don't follow God. You think it's just about sex, you're wrong. It's about wickedness. It's about sin. It's about greed. And that's not just money. That's not just money. It's all sorts of other stuff. There's my ladder. It's about hate. He turned them over to that. Envy. I desire something that somebody else has. Now, whenever you see these, the opposition is how we operate. We don't operate in envy. I don't care that you don't have a Suzuki because you're stuck with a Harley. That doesn't bother me. I don't hate you. I really don't. I love you enough to tell you truths from the Lord, right? I don't have any greed anymore. I am covetous of your prayers, and that's it. Sin? Oh, please, not again. And wickedness? No, that's worthlessness. And murder? God, I wish that guy was dead. I wish this guy would shut up today and quit telling me stuff. No. I want the president dead, pick the political aisle. I want Congress to go away. I just wish that teacher would die. I wish that bully on social would just die. I wish she just was out of my life. No. Quarreling? What are we fighting about? What really matters? Do you think I care how you worship? All I care is that you worship. We're not going to quarrel about it. We're not going to major in minor topics. We're going to major in the majors. Quarreling? Deception? I'm not... If you got people trying to deceive you, they're taking truth from you. Don't let it happen. Do you know why we bring 13 and overs in the community here? We don't have a separate high school type of deal or middle school. We want you in here adulting now. If the medical community thinks you're old enough for an adult dose at 12, you need to be in here too. And we're not taking our cue from them. We're taking our cue from the Lord. Because at that age, you're old enough to sire a child. And if you're at that age, then you need to have the adulting. And oh, by the way, thank you for you young folks being here. When you young folks are hanging around with people that have silver hair, not just silver, but white hair, that's a good day for you. Do you understand? That's why we do it. It's all about family. We're not going to get into quarreling. And oh, by the way, if you're bringing dissension into the throne room of God of your home, you're part of the problem. Deception, we're not deceiving. Maliciousness, behavior. No, we're not here to take folks out. See, we're in opposition to any of this. But this is what God turned folks over to. Gossip, did you hear? Did you see what she's wearing? I can't believe they only tithe this much. Oh, did you know they didn't pick up cigarette butts? Oh, did you see? Do you like being gossiped about? How about on social? I don't want it. I don't want it in my life. I don't want it in your lives. And there's no way I say, oh, you know what, honey, you just go right on ahead and bang men. You go ahead and bang women. You go ahead and gossip till your heart's content. Go ahead, because God turns you over to that. I'm not going to stop you because he's given you free will as he's given mine. I am going to warn you of the wrath of God. And wrath means righteous anger, in this case, against sin. Let me tell you, you saw about, what's the dude with the island? Epstein's Island. You guys saw the movie? Did that set well with you? The Sound of Freedom. Did that movie set well with you? Why? They did something debaucherous to a child? Well, there's a guy that's back East Coast that raped a five-year-old, and he's from down in South America that's here inappropriately. He raped a five years old. They barely know how to make a full sentence. Does that make you mad, or are you just like, oh, no, that's fine. That's just the way life is. That's called righteous anger. They are backstabbers. Talk behind your back. They hate God. They don't want anything to do with him. I don't want God in my life. I'm going to be insolent. And they're proud. What I'm doing is right. Here's my flag. And whatever that flag is that you wave under. Harley. I pick on motorcycles a lot because I ride. I got a wicked cool 650 scooter. And if that ain't enough, I got 49 cc's that'll top it. Backstabber. Haters of God. Insolent. Proud. And they're boastful. I am so going to tell the world about my sin, and I want you to come in. Right? They invent new ways of sinning, and they're all of this is wrapped up in, they keep this up, they disobey their parents. You know, when you disobey your parents, and this is for tape delay as well, you guys online, when you disobey your parents, you're in this group. You are in violation of the fifth commandment, which is the first one that has to deal with people. Honor your father and mother. Honor. Well, they are so mean to me. Honor the title of father and mother. My parents are dead in the sense of a corporeal sense, but I honor their life with my life. Do you understand? God's my dad. I'm definitely going to honor him. They invent new ways of sinning. How many ways have we seen in the last 5 years that we can sin? How many body parts can we cut up? How many children can we kill? We've already surpassed stacking babies from foot to head, just in the U.S., all the way around the equator. We've already surpassed that this year. happened in September. We made it. We've killed so many children that we can stack them head to toe all the way. And in 2028, the entire world will kill enough children to go all the way to the moon and back. And we found new ways to end life. We found new ways to undo what God has done in His infinite wisdom. Next slide. Disobey their parents. Next slide, please. Thank you. They refuse to understand, break their promises, and are heartless and have no mercy. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die, yet they do it anyway. They know the consequences, and so did you, and do you. Worse yet, leave this up for a while, they encourage others to do it too. Why is there so much sin? Did that make the argument? Free will allows you to establish your standard, being that standard bearer. The standard is the pole. The flag is what you're supporting, whatever that is. Standard bearer of sin. I'm going to be the standard bearer of insolence. I'm going to be the standard bearer of backstabbing or not obeying my parents or honoring. I'm going to be the standard bearer of taking others out and Corinthianizing them, making them like Vegas, San Francisco. Now, that's the opening for a very quick read in John 2.1 through 10. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. It got quiet in here over this time. But our many sins that are represented in Romans 1.18, you know, this was us. This was us. But see, now that you're born again to a new created, that stuff has been bulldozed off the road. It's no longer in your vernacular. You're a new creation, unless you still choose those old ways. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world. Do you guys remember when you lived in that muck and mire that we would call a septic tank? And Jesus did a full-on gainer into the septic tank to pull you out and clean you up. Ephesians 2. Did I say John earlier? Oh, I just taught you. Ephesians 2 for you that aren't there. My apologies, verse 1. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. Thank you for getting that address. You used to live in sin. Just like the rest of obeying the devil. There, who's your daddy? Right? The commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. Did you hear that? He is at the core. That is the essence of driving people mad. I don't remember the rapper. I was watching a YouTube short. And the rapper was doing some kind of concert, and he was called to do that concert, and he was a worldly man preaching worldliness through his rap lyrics. He was called from behind the stage to go watch another rapper with his lyricists coming out. And what he said he saw that God showed him was a darkness coming in out of his mouth. And I'm not picking on rap. You can do it with country too. But in this case, this is what God showed him, the darkness that was coming out. And the crowd was like digging it until the darkness was absorbed into them. And the women started looking wicked and doing wicked things, and the men did as well. Do you understand? What you put in your ears is going to affect your soul. I thought that was amazing. It just happened to him like within the last week. You know, that God gave him that. You know what he did? He turned right then and there and quit doing the... I love that he's still rapping. I like the beat. I'm a percussion. I love that stuff. It's got a beat, right? It makes my head bob. White guy style, but it makes my head bob. I wish I could bob like some of my black brothers, but I ain't wired like that. Let's go hillbilly country, man. Come on, I'll show you. And now he's doing it for Christ. That he, the spirit, Satan, the spirit is at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclination of your sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger. We just saw this. just like everyone else was. And you know what but means? It means instead. But God. Whew. Let you know the hope is now. The hope isn't something, oh, I hope this happens. I hope I get a set of Nike running shoes in my, I hope I get a new phone for Christmas. That's a hope that's kind of faulty. When we say hope in Christendom, followers of Christ, it's something we're assured of. It's something we already know in advance. Our hope is in the Lord. We know in the Lord, right? That's why I like this part. But God is so rich in mercy, and He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life, and He raised Christ from the dead. You know what, dude? He raises you from that dead man, that dead woman. It's only by God's grace that you have been saved. Did you catch that? Not one other thing but His grace. And you didn't have to do anything to merit such. For He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. Again, Paul affirming the title first in His name, Jesus. In verse 7, so God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of His grace and kindness towards us because we're of His kind, as shown in all He has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. Do you understand the mercy? Jordan, what's the next slide you have up there? Not Exodus. Give me one beyond Exodus. You got one? Okay, there we go. Yeah, Lamentations. Look at this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. Watch this. His, see the plural? His mercies never cease. Great is His faithfulness. His plural begin afresh each morning. Stale that. Every single, you got up this morning and went, hi, honey. She goes, oh, brush your teeth. New mercies every single day. Guess what? All the crap you do throughout the day, excuse me, all the stuff you do throughout the day, which looks like that former word, has been brought to the cross foot and new mercies, not getting what you deserve every day. Do you understand that? That's where we live. Our hope is assured of that because He loves us. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. Say it. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. Next slide if you have one. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercies. That means without boundaries. Isn't that amazing? He has so much mercy. Dude, I wish I had a bottle of water. I got tea. This is full. He pours it out on you. And guess what? He'll fill up another one in the morning, and He'll pour that out on you. And guess what? He'll have another one. It's day three. Day three. All on top of you. Every single day. New cup, new mercies, abounding without boundaries. Without boundaries. Stay there. Slow to anger. Why? Because He's patient with you. He's long-suffering with you. He wants you to come around abounding in mercy. Does that not affect your heart? Do you not understand the kind of love that we reject? Or when we listen to worldly counsel, we are then thus rejecting that as well? Do you not understand? Do you not understand what this is like? The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. He's not treating you like you may treat somebody else. He absolutely gives a rip about your life. He actually is alive and well and cares about your welfare, and He wants you near Him in a desirous sense that you can live your life more fully. Because let me tell you right now, in living in sin and worldliness, it is constraining the fullness of what your life is and or can be. Next slide, please, if there is one. Oh, yeah. Love what? Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. You guys know that song? Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful. Now remember, that word hopeful is assuredful, is hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. My way. Get. I don't want nothing to do with that. Sorry if I got it on you. If you need a towel, use your sleeve. He will even put up with you as you're doing this. And watch this. And he still loves you when you do that. And he loves you right here too. Or he just lets you stay there for all your days. Dude, I got this wrong one time, but you take around 245,000 steps in a month. I've been away from the Lord for 10 months. How many steps is that? 2 million for? I've been away from him for, decades. It could be tens of millions of steps. 250,000 steps a month that you walk away from him. And he's going, Dave, bro, come on. Leave me alone. No, stop it. You guys have little brothers, right? Don't touch my brother. I'm the only one that can kick him. Right? But he goes, no, stop. Dave, what? I love you. How can you love me? All this stuff I've been doing. I don't care. If you knew me more so, that stuff wouldn't matter as much to you. I just love you. Just take one step towards me. As he says in James 4, draw close to me and I'll draw close to you. Where else do you want to draw? What pool are you drawing from? Do we have another one? Is that it? Then that's it. God saved you in verse 8 by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift. I wrapped this gift myself at Christmas. I went out and bought it for myself and I'm giving it to me. No, you didn't. Somebody else thought about you and stuck that Freddy's Burgers gift card in your pouch or whatever. You know? And they gave it to you. They thought about you enough to give you a gift. They thought all this stuff up. Why? Because you're his workmanship. Have you heard that word? Workmanship? Do you know what that word is? Poema. Do you know what a poema is? It's a proper work of the Lord, but we get the word poem from it. He writes on your life every single day. He writes on you every single day. He writes love stories about you. Say something good about somebody you love deeply. Every 7 seconds, I want you to say something good about that person. I guarantee you, circa 5 to 7, you'll start forgetting things. It's said on average for eternity, God could say something amazing about you every 7 seconds. That would be a nuance that he sees in you. That's the wealth of love that the gift is given to you. Does that make sense? It should shake you up like that. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done in verse 9, so none of you can boast about it. I went to church today. And I'm going to tell you how it is when you get to work tomorrow. Nah, dude. What'd you do over the weekend? Oh, man, we Thanksgiving, Black Friday, all the different whatever, Fridays, Monday, whoever's Giving Tuesday, whatever it looks like. What did you do? Oh, dude, we went to church. Oh, man, okay, yeah. Well, oh, no, dude, it was great. We learned about sin. Now, peace, man, I'm out. It's all right, dude. It was just cool. Don't jump on them. No, really, you need to. Listen. No, ain't like that. Love them through it like you got love through it. Here it is. We are God's, say poema with me. We are God's poema. Say it with me. We are God's poema. Now hold your hand out, touch your heart. I am God's poema on three. 1, 2, 3. I am God's poema. Do you understand when you acknowledge that? You're acknowledging the penned letter. You're acknowledging the penned life letter that he is writing on you right this moment. Don't push the quill off the parchment with your sin. Let him continue to write. For we are God's masterpiece, it says in the New Living Translation. He created us afresh, anew, brand new. Jesus, in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. Pretty wild, huh? Pretty wild, huh? Do you understand the but God part? That's the juxtapose of the debaucherous nature of sin and the living the fullness of mercy, grace, thus love, poured out on others with no desire for anything you have for your life other than full dedication to Him in it. You don't understand, dude, you're old. You're kind of thinking about life's on the end for you. No, bro, I'm going to 100. I got another, I don't know, 35, 40 years, whatever. That's my goal. 100, buck one, buck two if He wants it. What happens if you die tomorrow? It didn't change my goal. It just put me in alignment with Him. And I'm gone. And I'm like the bomb squad guy. It's either my problem now, or if I do it wrong, it's no longer my problem. Amen on that, huh? When I was young, I couldn't be told anything. I was a fool in my ways. I was stupid. I was idiotic. They all mean the same thing. If that's a harsh word for you, so is hell and the bindings therein. Sometime look up one of those.